From the studios of Books in Motion, I'm Ben McLean, reading Freedom Bird, a novel of the summer of love, by Alan Cole and Chris Bunch. Now let's begin with Freedom Bird, Wednesday, Day Zero. Fly Translove Airways gets you there on time. Donovan. Mutants revolve your head and nervous system. Do acid. Do the holy cities. Spin spiral. Do yourself and bod. Create free forms, novas, do free. Free all. For real. Ephril One. Berkeley Barb. It is July 1967, and we're at 28,000 feet near Guam. Chapter 1. And the 707's cabin was quiet except for the high whine of the engines. Here and there, seat lights pooled the darkness. Some men were trying to read. One just sat staring, his face empty. There were nearly 180 men on the brand of flight. In a long line, they would be hard to distinguish as individuals except by their race. All of them wore short-sleeved khaki uniforms, sleeves marked by rank, mostly Army, some Air Force, a scattering of Marines. They were all about the same age, very early 20s. And they all had one thing in common. They were going home. A stewardess exited the rear galley carrying a tray with three ice-filled plastic glasses and five airline bottles of scotch. She stopped at the first light pool five rows up. Three young men stopped their quiet conversation as she put the glasses and bottles on their tray. "Welcome to tomorrow," she announced. One of the soldiers grinned. "I didn't know they made poets so pretty." "Thanks, but I wasn't trying to be poetic," she said. "We crossed the international dateline about 5 minutes ago, and we jumped a day. It's Wednesday now." The young black sitting next to the window thought for a moment. "Are we past Guam yet?"
"Oh yes, hours ago."
"Phew," the third said in exaggerated relief.
"Guess we stand a chance of making it."
He was a solid, rangy blonde who in overalls could have been a 4-H Club poster boy.
"Why is Guam so important?"
The dark-haired soldier, who thought the stewardess a poet, twisted the cap off one bottle, poured and passed that along with the second bottle across the aisle to the other two. "The last time we came through," he said, "somebody counted the engines and came up one short. So the Army, in its kindness, thought we'd better stop for refreshments. They picked Guam."
"I've only embarked there once," the stewardess said. "We didn't lay over, but it also didn't look like it was one of the party spots of the Pacific."
"You got that shit stuff right," the dark-haired soldier laughed. "We never met any of the natives, but we saw some sailors, some Air Force, and some pretty lonely dependents."
"How long were you stuck there?"
"Long enough to meet a whole lot of mosquitoes and find out nobody would let us get into trouble. Then they bolted us back on the plane and sent us to our," he raised his voice slightly, "destiny."
The stewardess's professional smile vanished.
"That's not what I'd say about Vietnam," she murmured. "Excuse me, I've got to go clean up the forward galley."
She walked away. The two soldiers on the aisle leaned out and looked at her shapely form. The black started to do the same, then caught himself.
"Nice legs," the dark-haired soldier said. "Bet they go all the way up to her ass," the blonde added.
"Speaking of which, Nebraska, we got to start watching our own ass. You too, Mr. Goddamn Tyrell Harris."
"I ain't done nothing else for 14 months," the black said in a deliberate drawl. "What else is new?"
"What's new is that we're all garbage mouths. I go back to L.A., walk in the door and say to my dad, 'Hey, asshole, how's it hanging?' And he'll have a coronary."
The black smiled.
"You got a point, Jeff. I talk like that and Mom will have the preacher over with a case of Life Buoy soap. I've got to remember, we're all going to be civilians. Clean-cut, upstanding American soldier boys who've done their duty to their country and all."
The dark-haired man was still staring down the aisle after the stewardess.
"So she doesn't think Vietnam was all that airborne ranger, huh? I would have just said, 'It sucks.'"
He lifted his glass.
"Like I heard somebody in a movie say once, departed friends."
They drank. All three of them were more than a little drunk. The subject they'd all skirted for hours had been opened.
"You're sure about Atherton?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?